Hello and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford and I'm here with my co-host Terrence Zepke. And today, it's a wild card week. We're on episode number 14, Feng Shui or Fooey. Okay, so Terrence and I have had many conversations about what is a workspace, do you need a dedicated workspace? Terrence is a big fan of feng shui. I just...
Fooey.
I'm fooey. That's exactly... Actually, I tell Terrence the word that comes to mind for me is pshaw, but she said nobody's ever heard of that word, so we changed it to fooey. But nevertheless, Terrence, do you need a dedicated workspace?
Well, yeah, you and I work very differently. We have very different ideas about this. I know you don't think it matters where you work or how you set up your workspace, but to the contrary, I think it's so important that, you know, I kind of really pushed you to do this show.
I know.
And also, I've created a writer's workspace board on my Pinterest site.
Oh, cool.
Because I just truly believe that a writer's workspace is key to his creativity and productivity. That said, I don't want to get hung up on the word, the whole feng shui philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is incorporating aspects of it to help create an optimum workspace.
Okay.
So I don't think it's really relevant to me or to the listeners that this is an ancient science that was developed more than 3,000 years ago in China, and it has to do with balancing the energy of any given space. For me, the three things I take away from feng shui is this. One is about clearing the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you throw away or you just remove from this space all the things that aren't necessary and relevant to your work. Do you agree with that, Sarah?
In theory, I think it is very good thing to do. In practice, I have a very hard time doing it because I have such limited space, unfortunately. So I've got a lot of things. I'm looking at my desk right now and it would make you grimace.
I have seen little tiny workspaces, Sarah, and I've put little corners and nooks and all on my Pinterest board because even with the smallest space, you can still do these things. So that's not an excuse, Sarah.
Okay.
But number two on this, and this might help you, Sarah, get organized. You know I'm an organized person.
I do.
And I do.
I'm so thankful that you're organized because... And although I can be a perfectionist, I'm not very organized, which is kind
you're
of,
not.
No,
yeah. It's not a criticism. That's just the way. And I had to be organized because no one in my family is organized.
Oh.
And so they always turn to me. You keep this paperwork. You organize this. You plan this trip. You do whatever, you know. And it was like, so it always kind of fell on me. So from early on, I've learned to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel better. So I tell people, you know, put your papers in file folders. Don't just have stacks and piles. Use cork boards, use cabinets, use desk drawers. You know, just get organized. And I can say this because I have tons of paperwork. I believe in everything in hard copy. And so in addition to having things on the computer, I have hard copies of everything. So I have a lot of paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one out there that can say, you just don't understand. I have more paperwork than you can imagine. Because no, I can't imagine I do. But I've properly organized everything there. And to that end, I recommend harmonizing your space. And you know what I mean by this? I'm talking about infusing your personality,
mm-hmm.
like maybe with photographs, artwork, rugs, area rugs, even window treatments and furniture. I think you and I have talked about get an ergonomic chair.
Oh, yes.
And this is really important. You and I both have issues with our backs, our shoulders, everything after
yep.
just sitting and working for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And to that end, I say find a desk that works for you. And a lot of people, you don't even write at the desk. So,
well, you know what, Terrence? I'd want to say something about the ergonomic thing because I,
okay.
yes, for years, well, I can actually take it back to exactly when it happened. For 11 years, I have had problems with my neck and my back and stuff like that. This is kind of funny. It was my first year trying to put together a magazine. I'm a magazine editor, but it was my first year, and I was sort of teaching myself to do that. And my son had just been born. I was literally nursing him at the computer, and I developed terrible, terrible, terrible neck problems while I was trying to do work and meanwhile hold my child in my arm. Not the best ergonomic situation. And nevertheless, I have had so many, you know, problems with this over the years, and I've gotten chiropractic help, which has been great. Trigger point therapy is magical. But one thing I've learned is you can't sit in any one position for too long. I mean, you can have an ergonomic chair, and I know that there are chairs that are ergonomic. That's great. But what I've found for myself, and this might not be the case for everyone, is it's not necessarily a bad thing to, for me, I need to change positions when I'm writing. Sometimes I write, you know, with my laptop, and I'm sitting in my Lazy Boy. Sometimes I write standing up. I have actually put my laptop on top of my spice cabinet because it's just the right height so that I can stand there and type. And then, of course, when I do my magazine editing work, I'm at my desktop. Sometimes I switch arms, you know, for my mouse. I can't stay with my right arm all the time because if I do, it starts giving me problems with my shoulder. And so it's important, you know, talking about ergonomics. You know, at some point we should even do a whole episode on, you know, dealing with the aches and pains that come with, you know, not just being a writer, but computer work in general, because I probably could write a whole book on, you know, different things you can do. So.
And I have a touchscreen computer, which mm-hmm. is helpful because, you know, like you said, the issue with your hand, your carpal tunnel and all that with computer mouse.
Well, see, I don't even have as many issues with the carpal tunnel. For me, it's all up in the shoulder and the neck, but it's different for different people.
It has different, mm-hmm. So, and I do stretching. Mm-hmm. If I have a place where I can stop writing, I need to think about something. Instead of just sitting at the desk thinking about it, I'll get up and think while I'm stretching and moving around the room.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I've got some specific exercises I do that my doctor had recommended for when your back gets stiff and all that. So that's something. And I was just going to say this about finding a desk that works for you. I hate computer desks, mm-hmm. Sarah. I just have never liked computer desk. And so I have a mahogany desk. And it's big. I mean, big. And it's solid and has lots of drawers and it has an L shape that comes off of it and all where I can actually spread my materials out and all. So that works for me. For other people, that might not work.
Sounds like a dream. If I had that kind of space, I'm sure I would love to have one too. I have a little small room and I have a countertop that has actually been attached and, you know, in the corner. It's not a corner desk, but it's attached to the corner and it's attached to the wall, and I have a cabinet under it and some cabinets above it, and this is where I have my main computer, my desktop computer. And so mine is fixed in place, and I've got one of the slide out keyboard drawers, or not drawers, but you know, the little trays, which it is helpful because it's not always very good to have. If you do have, you know, something that's a little bit higher, it's hard sometimes to have the keyboard up on the counter because it's not a very, or the top of your desk, because it's not always the most natural position. That's why a lot of desktop computer desks have the keyboard drawers, because it's more natural for your hands to be
right
just at that height. So
right now, I also, this is just something I mentioned, my desk is over across the room from the door.
Okay.
And now that is supposed to be how you do it for feng shui.
Okay.
Where you can see most of the room, and that's supposed to be for power and for best energy. For me, I really didn't set it up for feng shui. I did it because I have a big picture window, actually doors, that open, and this is where the best light in my room, the best place for me. So it just worked out that it also was feng shui approved.
I see. I got you.
But as far as feng shui goes, I do believe in certain parts of it, like paying attention to colors.
Oh, I was just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, your paint or your wallpaper, your rugs, all the things that are in your space should be certain colors. Soft yellow, blue-green, pale gold, light blue, that kind of thing. And feng shui experts like these colors because they supposedly stimulate the mind.
Okay.
I like them because they make your space. I think whether it's a big space or a tiny space, I think they make that space light and bright, which is a good thing. And so, I mean, do you agree with the part about the colors? And
I definitely believe in colors affecting, you know, your mood in your workspace, but I don't agree with necessarily those particular colors. For instance, my office is a green color, but you know, there are several colors that I've had in my workspace over the years, and yellow to me is my kitchen color. That's one that I would probably stay away from. But you know, I think one thing that I wanted to mention is there are some people who really enjoy having their workspaces, especially, you know, as they write, sort of inspire them in their writing. If they write a particular genre, let's say you write, in my case, historical fiction. So I have, you know, wall hangings in my office of the Constitution and, you know, seascapes and things of that nature, because it sort of puts me in the mood. Even though I don't sit in my office and do a lot of writing, I still have those things in here.
That is a great point, Sarah.
Yeah.
And I will share this with everyone. At my office is set up for me in the same way, as far as I have like a safari.
Okay.
Or a travel theme office. I have an oriental rug which has elephants and various things on it, and I have my travel pictures, my safari. I just have all kinds of things, and when I walk in here, it just puts me in a place, a happy place, a good place, a creative place, mm-hmm. I feel like, to write.
See, I think about, you know, like, for instance, you will not get me to paint my walls any shade of red. I had a living room one time that was a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous crimson color, but it gave me anxiety to sit in there. And, you know, but at the same time, I think to myself, well, if you're a romance writer, you might like to have your office painted like, you know, sort of pink or red or in the purple family or something like that. And that might not, some feng shui might not approve of that, but it might work for that writer because maybe they want sort of the romance, you know, sort of look for the room.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm not really hung up.
Uh-huh.
I say feng shui because I think most people know what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you're trying to address, you know, your workspace and designing and implementing. But for me, what I take away from feng shui is that these concepts of creating an ideal workspace, and feng shui is also for living space too, but of course we're just talking about workspace mm-hmm. today. And so it, like you said, soft yellow may not be the color that works for you no matter what feng shui experts say.
Uh-huh.
But you know, maybe there's another color, maybe red would work for you, and the feng shui experts would cringe at that. But it's the idea is to make it a space that's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you don't want it to be stressful or a place that you come into and you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I walk in my office and I have a door and I close it, I'm in my zone. This is my special place. And so this brings me to number three here. This is my workspace, and it's my workspace only. And it's also a stress-free environment. And by this, I'm just meaning I don't use it for other things. I don't use it to make personal calls or watch TV or entertain. I mean, this is my office, and I keep the mindset and energy in a work zone mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when I come in here, does that make sense to you?
It does. I think it's fantastic. I wish I had something like that, but not all of us are able to have that. So
yeah.
As far as having a place where we can just, you know, shut out other things, but I think it is optimum. I definitely think it's optimum to be able to have something like that. And we talked about before we started recording this episode that, you know, sounds, ambient sounds can be helpful. That's something that I like to use, and it doesn't really matter where I am, whether I'm in my office or whether I'm, you know, at my laptop somewhere else in the house. I do have a big desktop computer in my office, just, you know, so I'm not in here using a laptop. But,
now, do you use the desktop any time other than when you're working on the magazine?
No, I haven't, but very recently when I finished my major revisions and started doing more fine-tuning on my novel, I have actually ended up moving to my desktop computer to do some of the work because I was having some little neck and back issues, and it just was more comfortable to sit in here.
Because I know, a lot of writers now, everybody has a laptop, and mm-hmm. that's their preference.
Mm-hmm.
I can't write on a laptop, Sarah. I cannot write on one. I have to have my big, nice desktop. And I don't know what I'm going to do because in the future they say they aren't going to have these desktop computers. Nobody's going to want them. Well, they're all going to want laptops, portable devices. And so I may have to quit writing at that point.
Well, I'm sure you'll still be able to get a big monitor because, you know, even if you have a laptop, if you know, you can still get a big monitor to plug into a laptop and it would work.
I need a big keyboard, a big monitor. I need it all. I can't do. But it's funny you said that because I was just getting ready to hit on that and I wanted to get your input on the, because this is part of the stress-free environment I was talking about creating in your workspace. And Feng Shui experts recommend soft music or white noise. Mm-hmm. And they also recommend certain kinds of plants, mm-hmm. things that might be soothing to you, like bamboo and terrariums. And I've been wanting to do a terrarium. I mentioned that to you, and I haven't been able to find a good place to get one. But, you know, that's another thing you can do in your space there. A desktop fountain, you know, like a little small fountain mm-hmm. that runs water. And also, I know that they have ones that run, I don't know if they're fountains, but they emit essential oils.
I have a diffuser. I have an essential oil.
Is that what they're called,
diffuser.
Diffusers?
I have one of those, and it's wonderful, although I keep mine next to my bed.
Well, tell us about, because you know, you know a lot more about essential oils than me. Is this something, your thoughts on essential oils or crystals, anything like that in the workspace?
Crystals, I don't do anything with crystals.
Okay.
But essential oils, I've gotten into those recently. You know, it's actually a trendy thing right now, and I didn't get into it so much because it was trendy, but because I finally had, you know, a friend that was really knowledgeable who helped explain to me about some things about essential oils, and I've recently kind of gotten into. There's a company called Young Living that I order stuff from, but there are so many different companies out there. And you can find some that are good for relaxation. You know, there are some that are good for focus. There are some that are good for, well, the immunity and health issues. I mean, that's a different topic. You know, you want to be careful, though, because sometimes they might relax you too much, and then you won't be able to write. You know, for instance, you might not want to put lavender in your diffuser if you're trying to write, because
Is there an oil that will stimulate?
Well, I know that, you know, I've heard that a particular one, there are blends. There's a blend from Young Living called Valor that I've heard is good for concentration. In fact, they even recommend, there's a bunch of us, you know, that are homeschool moms, and our kids get together every week. And, you know, I've heard some of them talk about Valor being good for getting their kids to focus when they're sitting down to do their schoolwork. Because, you know, a lot of them, when you're home, you can have so many distractions. And the Valor as a blend of essential oils that supposed to be good for that. I haven't used it yet. I haven't had to use it yet. But you know, there are definitely oils that can be used. But you know, as far as sounds go, there are a couple of websites that I love to use. Yes, websites. I don't have a fountain on my desk. I don't have room on my desk for a fountain.
Sounds of running water. You mean
there's a website. One of my favorites is rainymood.com. I love the sound of a storm. And considering I'm writing about a port town, you know, a seaport, and, you know, the water and everything else, it just puts me in a nice mood. So that's one website, rainymood.com. And we'll link to these on the post that goes with this podcast. Another one that I recently got turned on to is called Coffativity, which is, we might have talked about this on another episode, but it actually has recorded sounds from different coffee shops or cafes, you know, around the world. And apparently there have actually been scientific studies that the kind of ambient noise that you hear when you're in a cafe, as long as you're not just sitting right up on people that are talking really loud, it can be like the perfect. I think it's just the volume. I think it's just the volume level, that sort of quiet din of noise and muffled conversation and things like that. But it's remarkable having, you know, whether it's rain, whether it's classical music, whatever, you know, it's different for different people. But rainymood.com and Coffativity are especially geared towards people who just need background noise for doing whatever.
I'll tell you this, Sarah. This is a funny thing here, because I can't listen to sounds. I've tried that before, like the sounds of a rainforest mm-hmm. or a storm or African you know, music, whatever, because I find myself getting distracted because, you know, I've traveled all these places. And so I find myself starting to go through my mind, you know, oh, I remember when I was in the Amazon. And so I find it actually distracting for me with my background. So I have to stick to white noise. I have a fan.
And
the white noise that works for me, but I'm not able to listen because everything reminds me of some travel experience, and then I just can't, you know. I'm like, oh, I need to go back there. You know, that was such a good trip. And I'm not getting any writing done while I'm doing that. So,
well, just as a little sneak peek for my novel, when I'm listening to rainymood.com, it sort of takes me to there is a shipping merchant who has a warehouse in my book, and the protagonist of my book, Adam, gets apprenticed to the shipping merchant, and there is living quarters upstairs in the warehouse that has windows that are open all the time that overlook Taylor Creek in Beaufort. And so I imagine that I'm up in that warehouse apartment and it's raining outside. And so it sort of helps to put me in the zone.
It helps you, yeah.
It does.
Well, I think the whole point of today's show, that at least for me, what I wanted to share was that even if you have limited space, such as you, Sarah, a little nook, a little corner, a little, you know, just a small space in your room even, you can claim it and use it properly. And no matter what the size of the space. And so I think that it's important to remember that every writer approaches the craft differently. And you know this is true from how you outline a book to how they tackle revisions. We all come at it differently. But the important thing to take away from this discussion is that you need to create the very best workspace for you.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can tell from this show, Sarah and I work in very different ways. Very different workspaces, very different timing, but we have both found our own kind of feng shui.
I guess you could say that. We've definitely found what works for us. And one thing that I just would really want to emphasize is, you know, no excuses. Don't make excuses for why you can't write, because Terrence and I have talked about this in other episodes. You know, There are plenty of people with kids who write novels. There are plenty of people who have, you know, all kinds of distractions. Maybe they live in an apartment building or whatever, but they still find a way to write. And so, you know, if you have to even get out of your house for a while, forget the stupid computer. Take a composition book and a pen. You know, there are ways to find to make it happen. But you do have to find what works for you. And if you can sort of create a instinctive response that when you get into a particular situation or chair or office or whatever, you know, you might put on a sound effect, you might have whatever, that's the thing that tells you it's time to write. It'll put your brain in that frame of mode, it's time to write, and it will help you to just get focused and sort of be in that zone. So.
I don't have anything to add, Sarah. I think you've covered it.
Okay. I was a little silence there. I didn't know if we got cut off.
No. I just thought you did such a good job with your end of it. And it's kind of funny because you don't really believe in feng shui, but you believe in a lot of the principles of it, I think.
Just not the hard, fast rules. I just, like I say, when it comes to colors or when it comes to things having to be in the eastern part of your house versus the western part of your house, to me, I'm thinking that would stress me out. If I had to think about following all those rules to know that my workspace or, you know, where I'm, I would never write. I would never write if I had to follow all those rules. But I do think that there are takeaway principles in general,
right.
You know, to having the right ambiance, having a place where you're happy, where you feel comfortable, where you feel inspired. Really, that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is a wild card week, so I'm guessing you don't have a quote of the day today.
Nope.
Okay, well, so we'll have to get our listeners to look forward to the next episode for your next quote of the day. Come to our websites. Check out, we'll have resource links posted with this episode for the different things that we talked about. My website is sarahwhitford.com, sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence's website is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. And, of course, you can subscribe to A Writer's Journey on iTunes. And we thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll join us next time. Thanks.